right, when you hear that song, you know it's time for Women Voices for Peace, reaching you on Treasure FM 98.5. Yeah, a woman can be anything in the world. A woman can be your helper. A woman can be a nurse, can be a doctor, a lawyer. And even in the kitchen, we combine all the roles. So multitask, more like the word. Okay, so don't overlook the role of women. This is Women Voices for Peace, reaching you on Treasure FM 98.5. And today we want to focus attention on the 16 days of activism. Yeah, if you've been hearing about violence against persons and all that, the United Nations actually decided to bring out 16 days to lay emphasis on this. And the topic of our discussion today is From Awareness to Action, 16 Days of Activism Campaign. And I have as my guest in the studio today, Barrister Grace Ajebo. She's from an NGO, Women and Children Rights Advocate, Assistant Coordinator, African Women Lawyers Association. Barrister Grace Ajebo, you're welcome to the studio today.
Thank you. Thank you for having me, as always.
Okay. My name is Rachel Ona. From now till 3 o'clock, we'll be talking 16 Days of Activism Campaign. Now, Barrister Ajebo, to someone out there, can you tell us what the 16 Days of Activism actually means?
Okay. Simply put, the 16 Days of Activism is the period that have been set out for advocacy on issues concerning violence against women and girls. Originally, you know, that was the essence of the 16 Days Activism, to create awareness because of the prevalence of domestic issues, sexual violence against children. You know, it was thought necessary to set these days aside to be able to create awareness of these issues in the society.
So when did the 16 days begin?
Well, the 16 days activism starts from November and runs into December.
Okay.
You know, so most organizations are using the opportunity, you know, to do different kinds of program on gender violence against women. Gender-based violence, which includes the physical, includes the psychological, the sexual, even the financial.
You're bringing more things, more angles to it. Now, so it's all about violence, focusing attention on violence against persons, no more against women, because we used to hear about violence against women, violence against women. So where did they shift? Where was that shift to violence against persons?
Okay, in recent times, we have had an increase of violence against men and boys.
Really?
Wait, both physical and sexual.
Is that only violence against women? No.
No.
Okay.
In fact, I can almost say that the violence against men and especially boys is on the rise now. And that has been brought about because of the increasing rate of homosexuality in our society.
Tell us about it.
Well, some 10 years ago, the issues of homosexuality was not as forefront as it is now. The challenges that we were having as civil society is the problem with the women and girls. Now, the foreign countries have made homosexuality and lesbianism attractive. So everybody in the society now that begins to feel that, okay, they can express themselves through that way. It's been there in the background, especially in the north, okay?
Really?
Yes, it's been in the background, especially in the north, for years. but it was not publicized as it has been now because it seems to have spread everywhere. So we have more boys being preyed upon by homosexual men. We have boys being preyed upon in boarding schools, by fellow students, by teachers, in neighborhoods. And because the society seemed to have created a stereotype for men, they are supposed to endure whatever they are passing through. They are not supposed to cry. They are not supposed to speak out. Otherwise, they become less of men. Mm-hmm. You know, these things are bottled in. And we have so many young boys suffering sodomy.
Mm.
So this violence against boys and the men, because it seems that with the increase of the awareness of the rights of women, the flip side also happened, which is more women or some women, you know, begin to be the aggressors now, not the men.
Oh, well, we have
issues where the men are the ones.
They're trying to tell us now that because so much attention is on protecting the woman and the girl child, we seem to have neglected the boy child and the men.
And the men.
So they're suffering in silence.
They're suffering in silence,
yes. Can you throw more light on that?
Okay. We've had several cases where we have the men being the victims of domestic violence, being beaten up by their wives, being sexually starved.
They had it from you, uncle.
It does sound funny, but it's a reality in a lot of homes.
Wow.
Yes.
The woman will be beating the man.
Yes.
Hmm.
Some beat up their husbands. Some stab their husbands sexually. Hmm. Some will not give food to their husband while they are upset about something. You know, they take it out on the primary roles that she, the wife or mother, is expected, you know, to play. And these men find it difficult to come out to complain. You know, it looks awkward that a man will come and say, my wife is beating me. Because the space for
your fellow men will even laugh at you, right?
Exactly. And the women will just look at you like, that means you are not a man. How come? You know, but it's the reality of a lot of people. The space has not been created for men to be able to speak out about this kind of issues, about the violence that they suffer, you know, at home. So that's why 16 days activism now has been stretched to cover not just violence against women and girls, but also violence against men and boys.
Okay. Now, you talked about homosexuality taking the center stage right now, and nobody seemed to pay any attention to it. And I got really worried when you said it starts from some boarding schools. So how does it happen?
Well, you know that boarding school hostels are made up of children who come from different backgrounds. It is in boys' schools as it is in girls' schools and mixed schools too.
Mm.
And some of those boys have been introduced to homosexuality from home.
From home?
Yes, from home, from neighborhoods, from uncles, relations, neighbors, you know.
Mm.
And then they come to school, and it being an addiction, look for how to continue to practice that, and they take it out on junior students. There was a report of a teacher who kept doing that to boys.
In the school?
Yes, in the school. Until one spoke up and told the parents, and they found other boys had been victims of the same thing. Okay, so with this now, you see that a lot of younger boys are being introduced to homosexuality in the hostel. Once it's lights out, no teacher knows what is going on again in the hostel.
Hmm.
And the children, the boys are too scared to speak up because you are still going to have another light out where the gang of homosexuals in the hostels, you know, will deal with you for speaking up.
Hmm.
So it becomes imperative to schools, particularly boarding schools, to pay attention. We have the issues of lesbianism for girls' schools, but the awareness is so much and so high now that every, you know, management of every girls' school has that top in their priority of things to watch out for.
Okay.
And it's reduced. We need to do the same for boys in boys' schools.
Okay. So you're saying that in schools where there are, does it only happen in boarding houses? Because some day schools equally have such experiences.
Yes,
of lesbianism.
But it's more in boarding houses. Day schools, because the hours that the children are together is limited, you know, so it will not be as widespread as it would be in the boarding schools.
Okay.
Yes. So when you have such issue on the increase, there is a need to spread and extend advocacy to that problem. That's why from the 25th of November to the 10th of December has been set aside every year for 16 days of activism against not just women and girls, but now also men and boys, all forms. And I'll just quickly say that prior to now, the laws that we had did not cover men and boys.
So tell us about that.
You know, the criminal code, all of that didn't cover anything about men and boys with regards to violence against their persons, sexual violence, and all of that. In fact, the definition of rape then, you know, just spoke mainly about women being the victims. It didn't include men at all. But with the passing of the Violence Against Persons Act, okay, it has introduced the reality that men and boys are victims of all sorts of violence, including sexual violence, including rape, and introduced punishments for such offenses.
Okay.
So the Violence Against Persons Act.
Yeah, that's, you can expatiate on that. Tell us the content of that Violence Against Persons Act. It's been passed into law in Rivers State.
Yes, it's been passed into law in Rivers State. Mm-hmm. It's been, but there are many states that have not passed the Violence Against Persons Act.
Some of the contents, because if you go reading everything, we might not go today. So.
Okay. The act talks about provided for rape, which includes men and boys. Now,
an update to the criminal code.
Yes, to the criminal code.
Okay.
Yes, the act now has given a minimum of 12 years imprisonment for rape.
Okay.
12 years to life imprisonment, you know, for rape. The act also covers inflicting physical injury on another person and has given 5 years imprisonment or the option of a fine of 100,000 naira. The act also covers forced marriage. These were not covered in previous laws, you know, that have been passed. The female genital mutilation is something that the act dealt with too.
Extensively,
because other laws did not take care of female genital mutilation. This act has done that now. Forceful ejection, you know, maybe from your place of abode, depriving a person of their liberty, succession rights for women and children.
Okay.
You know, these inheritance rights issues has been mostly the campaign of civil society organizations, you know, but now we have a law, you know, that makes it an offense for women and children to be excluded, you know, from participating in family inheritance. Yes. Then, the issue of incest is on the rise every week.
Incest. So what is incest?
Incest.
People will not, you break it down a bit for people to understand.
Okay.
You know, the VAP Act equally covers issues of incest. So let's look at incest. What is incest?
Okay, incest is carnal knowledge between blood relations. Close relatives, a father and daughter, a brother and a sister, okay? Those kind of situations where you have sexual abuse of one relation on another, close relations, you know. And we have had recent issues of fathers defiling their daughters. Before now, it was fathers defiling stepdaughters, you know. But now, we have issues of fathers defiling their daughters.
So who could have been responsible for it being on the rise right now? Is it cases of ritual? Or because I don't see any normal man going all the way to defile the daughter?
It will be a combination of many things. You know that so many vices are on the increase now. You know, so many vices are on the increase. The things that we could not imagine before now are just happening and are becoming everyday occurrences. Just last week, I got a call from a volunteer, you know, that works with one other organization I work with, WESE. And he says his daughter came home that day and told him that her classmate and friend in school confided in her that her brother and her father are sexually abusing her in this Port Harcourt.
Jesus. Really?
Yes. Both of them.
This is a girl?
Yes. This girl is in JSS too. So imagine a father and his son, her brother, taking turns with her. On her.
And she doesn't want to let it out.
Fear.
Wow.
The same fear, the same stigmatization, you know, that made domestic violence be on the increase. Yeah. It's the same reason.
So what roles does your NGO play in matters like this? When you got that call, did it take some steps?
Yes. Okay. First of all, we had to speak with the girl directly, you know, so it is not hearsay. You know, so we met up with the girl, spoke to her, and she gave us details of what she's
doing. She was not ready to open up.
Yes, she was ready to open up because we had assured her
of that privacy,
we're not going
protection.
To meet her halfway, you know, and we'll make sure that it stops. After that, we made sure that a report was made at the police station so that the police can do their investigation. She was taken for medical examination. The proof, you know, the proofs were there of all that the girl had been going through. As it is now, the man did not even deny it. He couldn't deny it because the girl was very, you know, clear and explicit. So the police is doing their job.
Her biological father?
Her biological father.
And her biological brother?
Yes.
Wow. This is frightening.
So while the police has taken over that criminal angle, the girl has to go through, you know, a lot of therapy. She has to see a counselor, the psychologist, you know, because she started feeling that there must be something wrong with her for her father and her brother to find her attractive. You know, she's scared to sleep at night, so she doesn't know which of them is coming.
Hi.
She has tried to tell the mother, but the mother, you know, didn't pick the signs. She couldn't open up to tell her mother, you know, exactly what she was going through, because she was closer to her father than her mother. So when the father started abusing her, it became difficult for her to open up to her mother. And the mother was not sensitive enough to see the signs. Yes, to see the signs, to find out that something was wrong.
Wow.
You know, and the father tried his hard to say.
So what do you have, as mothers, what advice do you have? Because it pains me that something is happening under your roof, yet you don't know. And the girl will be giving you some signs, some language.
Yes.
She's scared to speak out.
She's scared to speak out because threat is usually involved.
But she's trying to code.
Yes. You're hoping that you will notice that something is amiss and dig further, you know, and enable her to not, you know, open up to you. But most mothers are not close to their daughters.
Carelessness.
Most mothers are not close to their daughters.
Wow.
Most mothers are busy hustling, you know, and just leave these girls to grow. A mother has to be her daughter's best friend, has to be her daughter's confidant. You know, I tell people who have daughters, I have three daughters, and I tell them that, look, whatever you tell me stays in my ear, and I will take care of it. You know, making sure that they have the confidence of a mother, the confidence that their mother is going to protect them
without betraying them.
Without betraying them is key, and that is not something that is achieved overnight. From when the child is little, you need to befriend your child, talk about any and everything. You know, keep secrets together. They can tell you, whisper in your ears. My daughters will just come and whisper one thing and tell me, please don't ask her when I'm not in the house. You can ask her, especially things that have to do with my domestic stuff.
And at times they'll say, don't ask for now.
You know, you need to be able to respect that so that they can trust you to tell you next time, and then know how to handle it without it, you know, bouncing back on the child. So mothers need to pay attention. A child that is very boisterous all of a sudden becomes withdrawn, you know, stays on her own,
and then
you don't ask questions. You just assume that, ah, I beg, she's not in the mood to relate to people. Ah, thank God, though, her waka waka self too much. Let her stay one place. Now that she's staying in the house, it's better. You don't know. Something brought about that change that was against her nature as is known, you know. A child that used to be very friendly, you know, all of a sudden hides when a particular person comes to the house, or begins to be very rude and disrespectful to people around her. It's just her way of lashing back, you know, at the society for whatever she's going through privately. You see, a girl suddenly becomes very disrespectful to the father, or disrespectful to the older brother, very rude. And it's out of her character. You just think that maybe she has followed bad friends, or she has, she's learning bad things outside. No. It may be a sign of an inner disturbance, an inner discomfort. So mothers need to pay attention to these signs.
Okay. Now back to the male child. You know, so it really got to me. To know, I mean, it's unthinkable. A father and a brother abusing their sister and daughter right under their roof. You can imagine what that child has been going through
on a daily basis. School closes and she doesn't want to go to school.
Wow.
Because one person is waiting for her.
She doesn't want to go home.
She doesn't want to, go home once school closes. Mm. She's scared. The place that should have been her comfort zone, you know, just becomes, you know, a problem for her.
Mm.
And it will take years before she will get through this. It will take years.
All right, let's look at the male folk now. You know, is there any advocacy you're doing? Because your NGO equally takes care of male children, right? Is there any advocacy you're doing to make sure the male child is protected? Because all these female children, violence against women, we're not paying attention to the boy. In doing that, we're neglecting the male folk. We're neglecting the boy child.
Yes, that's true. Mm-hmm. And we have found that the solution to the issues that women are going through lies a lot with the men. Okay, so if we do not pay attention to what our boys are learning, we'll be very sure that it will translate to domestic or one form of violence or the other against our women and girls in the nearest future.
Okay,
so as much as our association main trust is women and girls, we also do children, which includes boys.
Mm-hmm.
In fact, some 3 years ago, our major project was the street boys, the street children, particularly the street boys. You know, so we had to find ways to get them off the streets so that they do not tomorrow become a menace to society. They are the ones who will grow up to be pickpockets, who will grow up to be armed robbers, you know, and make life miserable for the rest of society.
Mm.
So part of this year's 16 days activism, most civil society organizations are incorporating awareness for men and boys and call on the men folks to speak out. Okay, our association, we welcome reports from men.
Men bottle up a lot of things.
Oftentimes, when these issues are discussed on radio, the men call in, but they never come into the offices to report. The women may not call in to the program, but they will walk into the office to report their issues. So we try to encourage men to, you know what, can you come to the office? Let's call them. We'll mediate. You know, we'll start with mediation. What's the problem? What are the issues? You know, are there ways that we can resolve these issues without it escalating to litigation, you know, and all of that?
Mm-hmm.
So this year's 16 days activism calls for, you know, people to speak up. Say what your problem is. Don't just keep quiet. Don't just act as if you can handle it on your own, by yourself. Be you woman, be you man, boy, girl, you know, speak up.
Don't die in silence.
The theme for this year's 16 days activism is call it out. Whatever the problem is, speak out, say it out. The message has to be out there that Violence Against Persons Act has made provision for the protection of every person, not just women and children, not just women and girls, but also men and boys, from physical harm, you know, from psychological abuse, from
I'm interested in that psychological abuse. Well, before we go ahead with it, let's give them the phone number to call. Today we're focusing on 16 days activism against violence. You know, we're dealing with violence in society, violence against women, against men, against children. So that's what we're focusing on today. You can call us up on 0903-853-7092. 0903-853-7092. If you have a question to ask or you have a practical experience to share with us on the show today, you can do that. Just call us up 0903-853-7092. Yeah, Barrister Ajaibu is still here.
Yes.
Okay, it looks like we'll have our first call on the show today. Hello, good afternoon. Your name and where you're calling from? Oh, looks like it was a flash. Please don't flash us. We're in for serious business. Oh, missed that call again. All right, keep trying. 0903. It looks like our phone line is having some issues, but keep trying. 0903-853-7092. You can call us up right now. Let's discuss on violence against persons. And Barrister Ajaibu is here as well. She is a professional, a civil society activist. She's ready to entertain your questions and your concerns on the show today. So, Barrister Ajaibu, you go ahead.
Yes, so the provision covering men and boys in the violence against persons.
Sorry, before you go ahead, let me give an alternative, another number, in case the other line is having some issues. You can call 0912-938-3870. 0912-938-3870. So you can call us up on this line if you have a question to ask on violence, issues relating to violence and protecting the rights of women and men. And okay, the call is coming through right now. Yes. Hello, good afternoon. Oh, we missed that call. Please don't flash us. Call us up if you have a question to ask, if you have a reaction on the show today. Just call us up. We have a professional right here to attend to your questions. 0912-938-3870. Okay. So we'll be expecting your calls while we trash some matters right here in the studio. Go ahead, Barrister Ajaibu.
Yes. Before now, in the criminal code, we had the sexual assault as the wordings of the law covering and sexual abuse of men and boys. But the Violence Against Persons Act has stated that it can be, it is now categorized as rape.
Okay.
Yes. And the elements of rape are no longer restricted as they were to just women. The Violence Against Persons Law and Act also classifies oral sex, unlawful anal sex as rape, because that's what the men suffer, the oral and the anal.
Okay.
So they have been included as elements of rape in the Violence Against Persons Act, you know. And the act also included that instruments of rape can include any object.
Wow.
Prior to now, it was just maybe the proof of penetration is what you use to establish rape. But with the Violence Against Persons Act, any object that is used to sexually assault a person, you know, has been included. So nobody gets away with using instruments on another anymore, which makes it easier to prosecute issues of rape that come up, and also protects the men and boys too.
Okay. All right. So what is the role of parents in all this? Because parents send their children to school with intention for them to acquire education, and these children come up damaged, come back to them damaged. So what can parents do to forestall all this? Is it that they shouldn't send their children to boarding schools again?
No. It's not.
Or certain people shouldn't come to the house anymore, because some people right under your roof, these things are perpetrated right under your roof, and you don't even know about it, and your child hides all these things from you. So how can parents, both mothers and fathers, forestall all this and protect their children?
Okay, let me quickly say that the problem is not with the boarding school system.
That's why I said, how can parents forestall it? Because some happen under their roofs.
Yes.
Uncles, relatives,
first of all,
friends.
There has to be awareness of the fact that this issue is here with us now and is prevalent. A lot of people do not know that homosexuality is practically on every street in our towns and
our
cities.
It makes them so frightening.
Yes, see, that's the reality.
It's as bad as that.
Yes, that's the reality.
On every street.
On every street, you will find that there is at least one, if not more, homosexual in that street. So parents now need to pay attention. There is this brother, this uncle, this neighbor that is, particularly very friendly to your son, always buying him things, always asking him to come and do things for him in his own apartment. You need to watch it. There is this brother.
I say that it's wrong for male children to receive gifts from.
No, it's not wrong, but the parent needs to pay attention to be sure that it is nothing more than just mere gifts.
What do you mean by paying attention? That is kind of
vague.
Yeah, kind of big. Not really big. It entails a lot of things. So when you say pay attention, what are parents expected to do under the circumstance?
Know where your child is at every point in time. Teach your child age-appropriate sex education. The child needs to know at every age information concerning sex for his level. That's why I said age-appropriate. Once you begin to educate a child about what homosexuality is, how they are solicited from children, the child becomes aware. If you tell a child, please, any brother that is calling you every time, please don't go. Come and take permission from me first before you go. I would decide whether you go or not, so that you don't put yourself at risk. The child is aware. It's like you've given the child, the protection the child needs. The child is aware of what is going on and will be careful and watchful for brothers calling him to come to their room. When you tell a child that don't let anybody, touch you here or there, no matter what the person offers you, that they will offer you all sorts of things, the things that you want that maybe I haven't even been able to afford to give to you. Know that the person wants to damage you. It makes that child alert. Okay? And let's not be quick to hand our children over to friendly neighbors, to friendly relations. You just assume, he's my brother now. We cannot assume that anybody is safe, that our children are safe with anybody anymore. Even with uncles, even with aunties. There was a calling program where when men started talking about how they were introduced to sex, majority of them were from aunties and uncles living with them while they were children. Relations of their fathers and mothers that damaged them while they were young. So it's not safe to assume that any relation, can take care of your child, or that your child is safe with any relation, be it male or female. Everybody now is suspect. Even a father is suspect. Yes.
Now, what do we say about some women who know that their husbands are into this thing, defiling their daughters, defiling their male children, and in the name of staying in the marriage, in quotes, they want to protect their marriage, and they don't let these things out.
Yes.
So what do we do about this?
That causes permanent damage to the child.
Yes, we have.
There was one that we were prosecuting, and the woman refused to testify against her husband. In fact, she said her child was the problem. That the child wants to throw her out. Her daughter of the man too, she was covering. she doesn't want to embarrass her husband in as much as what he did was wrong, but she doesn't want to embarrass
the family. The facts were there.
Mm. And because she was dependent on her husband economically, the thought of if this thing happens, if they lock him up in prison, how will my children and I survive? If the family throws me out of the house, how will we survive? That's why we tell women, you have to be economically independent so that you can make tough choices. You can make them. You know, you will not be, you know, hard-pressed to decide whether to remain in that violence or not. So economic independence is key. Some of them is religious. They'll tell you, our pastor is handling it. He's going for deliverance. He's, you know, at Nasmo Pekin. She will soon forget. Waiting happen. But it doesn't work like
that. Those things are not easy to forget.
No, they're not easy to forget. They're always there in the background. Mm. And they will, you know, play out in her future. Some of the victims have issues with having intimacy with their husbands. Some of them,
because they see every man as an abnormal person wicked
They just have this, you know, negative inhibition. Mm-hmm. You know, somehow they can't bring themselves, their body just does not respond.
Mm.
Okay, some become worse than their defilers, they take it out on others,
mm.
and they will tell you it was somebody that also did it to me, so you know, so. It becomes a risk to society when we allow children who suffer all this kind of sexual violence to go unhelped. That's why therapy is key.
Talking about therapy, what kind of therapies would you offer to a child who is already damaged?
Well, the child has suffered a problem.
Hmm.
But if the child is helped early, the child will not be damaged.
So what do you define as early?
From the point that the defilement happens, okay? Like we work with Doctors Without Borders, Medicine Sans Frontières, and they have psychologists, you know, as we send the girls for medical examination, you know, for proof of what just happened to them, we also have them see psychologists, you know, that we talk to them, have them express it.
Mm-hmm.
Say it out and then help them session after session to deal with what they are going on, because they need to sort out the feelings that they have. They need to sort out what is in their head, trying to comprehend why such a thing will happen to them in the first place. They need a professional that will help them, you know, navigate through their fears and all that, and let them know that it was not their fault, you know.
Well, Barrister Jebo, why do you think boys and girls fall prey to these defilers? Are there factors to look out for? Why do you think they become easy prey?
Because children have limited understanding about some things. You know, when you tell a child, if you dare tell your mother, I will kill your mother, I will kill your father.
Hmm.
The child, being a child, believes and doesn't want his or her mother killed. And so the child will keep quiet. Okay? So such traits work with children because they're trusting. They believe that what you said you will do. That's what makes them children.
Hmm.
You know, so the threats hangs over their head. If you dare talk, I will do this. I will kill you. I will. And the child believes. For an adult, it's different.
Hmm.
Okay. So that is one of the problems. Then when children are not well attended to, children are allowed to roam around, visit people, you know, where parents are busy making ends meet, you find that there's one adult somewhere just watching, observing the movements of that child. Oh, the child comes back from school by this time, he goes to fetch water or he plays football, and then they begin to woo that child, you know, and start making friends with that child. So you need to know where your child is, what your child is doing. Then the limited information is another thing. Then the social media is another problem.
Okay. Exposing children too early to them, or?
Yes, exposing children too early to them,
mm-hmm.
and to particular content on social media. Because right now, you have cartoons that have characters you know, in them that are gay.
Can you tell us an example of such?
Okay, recently in the new Superman magazine, there's a new Superman magazine that is coming out, and Superman has been depicted to
as
be gay.
Bisexual.
Yes.
Bisexual.
And he has a partner, a male partner. So it's made to look normal.
Because children are in love with Superman.
Yes, they're in love with Superman. So when they see that Superman has a boyfriend, okay, it looks to them like, okay, it can't be a bad thing. Superman is a good man. So it can't be bad. So these things are subtly introduced to children. In movies, in cartoons, a lot of the children programs that they watch, you find a boy will tell you, I have two dads. They're watching them on Disney, they're watching them, you know, and it looks normal. I stumbled on one that my children were watching. And I just stumbled on. I was in the sitting room, they started watching it. I didn't know. You know, something just made me look up and pay attention. Because one of my daughters was telling the other one, is his other dad.
Hey.
So I looked up and like, his other dad, was it an adoption or was it maybe biological father and the adopted father? You know, I paid attention and I found out that two men had adopted a boy. And so he had two dads. Another one had two moms. And the children will begin to think that it's normal to have two moms or two dads.
In your life.
You know? And so these things are subtly introduced. So parents need to pay attention to what their children are watching on television, the sites that they are going to on social media. Because we give them phones and they are not checked. Many parents don't have parental control over the phones of their children. You find children download and watch pornography. Secondary school boys.
Wow.
You give them a system to do their homework or phone to do their homework, and you find them watching pornography. You find them in the toilets jacking out because they're practicing what they saw on the phones. And you know that these phones have, you know, pop-up sites. You know, the child will go to one site and next thing another thing just pops up, and you see one naked, you know, another. And they want to find out. They are curious by nature. They want to find out what this site, why is there a naked woman here? And they'll click.
So now, are you saying that we shouldn't give them phone early? Or at what age should we expose children to social media?
First of all, I think children in their preteens, 8, 9, 10, 11, 12, okay, should only have phones on a need-to basis. You have an assignment, supervised use of the phone. You can buy a child a phone that does not have internet access. The essence is to be able to communicate with the child, right? Then you give the child a phone that does not have internet access. You know, a phone that is not a smartphone. Then when you have teenagers that you want to give smartphones, there are parental control apps that you, the parents, will download. Same as the child's phone that enables you know every site your child enters from your own phone.
Okay.
Enables you know every...
Okay, the parent will download that app?
Yes, it's installed. It has to be a condition for you having the phone.
And then link it to the... other phone?
Yes.
Okay.
Yes. And then the children also need to know that you go to the wrong site, I seize your phone. You lose access to your phone for this number of times. You know, the use and access to the phone should not be unlimited.
Okay.
Phones can be taken away at bedtime. You take the phone away till tomorrow morning, you come and take your phone. Because it's in the night time that they are pressing and pressing and pressing and going to all sorts of places. You know, but having an eye on what your child, the sites your child is entering, will help you, you know, rein in on some of these things that they will pick up, you know, in the social media spaces.
Wow, that's a great eye-opener. Loving children. But because you go out to see children, small children, holding smartphone, even Apple phones.
No, so wrong. It is so wrong.
And the parent feels he or she has been a loving dad or a loving mom.
Not knowing
that you're bringing more problems to yourself. Now, there's another angle to it. Even if you don't give your child a phone, the child comes back and starts telling you certain things from his or her friend's phone in the school.
Yes.
That's something I discovered personally.
Yes.
So how do we get around it? You don't get the phone, but they're exposed to phone in the school. Some children, their schools don't allow them to come to school with phone, but they're sneaking the phones.
Yes.
Mm-hmm.
Now, something that happened in my church, I work with the children's department in my church.
Wow.
And something that happened really, you know, got parents you know, like, wow. You know, I had a leading to ask the children to write down issues that they wanted, questions they wanted answered, you know, without putting their names.
Okay.
And so they did that, and they gave me the bits and pieces of paper, and we agreed to discuss each of those questions, you know, the next Sunday. So by the next Sunday, by the time I opened all those questions, if you see the things that these children wrote, they're talking about crush. What if you're crushing on your teacher? What if you, you know, you have a friend who likes boys a lot? You know, so much. And there are things that they have not told their mother. They've not told their father. So we had to find ways to, you know, prayerfully find answers to each of those questions before we met with the children on Sunday.
Okay.
And so we do that before the close of service every Sunday. You have an issue you want to discuss and you hear things. In that process, I found out about a child who was being sexually abused at home. The parents didn't know.
Right from the children class?
Yes.
In church?
Yes, the parents didn't know.
Wow.
She couldn't tell her mother about it.
Hmm.
One had a teacher who was, you know, sexually harassing her in school. One other boy had an uncle who was always fond of touching his privates, even when he's dressed. Hmm. Always trying, yes, an uncle, always trying to touch his privates, even when, you know. So we need to be able to talk to our children. That communication line between a parent and a child must be open. It's key to knowing what is going through in their lives and in their head.
Hmm.
One of them asked me about masturbation.
Really?
Yes. Is it bad to touch yourself? Hmm. My friend in school said that if you touch yourself, it's not a sin. Another one said that a boy told her that you can do every other thing. It is only the penetration that is sin against God. The other ones are not sin, are okay.
Wow.
So parents should make their children their friends so that their children can tell them anything, no matter what it is, and have the confidence that they'll be protected by their parents. That is more important than any other kind of advocacy we will talk about.
Mm.
Because that way, a lot of issues will be nipped in the bud before it gets to the problem, the stage where the child is already damaged.
Okay, so what are red flags to look out for? Well, if you want to find out that maybe a child has been abused in the home, male or female,
when we do legal clinics in secondary schools, we hear a lot of things from children.
Hmm.
You know, especially public schools, we hear a lot of things that they come to tell us when they come to the desk, sit down, okay, what do you want to talk about? They tell you their uncle, their auntie, you know, all those kind of things. Now, red flags to watch out for. The disposition of your child. If your child's disposition changes from who he used to be or who she used to be, if your child, you know, all of a sudden becomes scared of every noise, every, you know, is easily scared, doesn't want to go into the toilet alone anymore, didn't have that fear before, but you notice that all of a sudden the child doesn't want to be in dark places, he doesn't want to, you know, some children will always cover up. They want to wear high-necked clothes, long sleeves, you know. They don't want any part of their body showing. Mm-hmm. All of a sudden, they weren't doing it before. You know, this changes. A child just doesn't want to go out. A child who used to love going out stops wanting to go and stays in the room all the time. Or you see a child, you know, hiding to use his phone. You've given the child the phone, and then all of a sudden, the child is not using it freely. The child is hiding.
Mm-hmm.
Sometimes the child goes into the toilet with the phone. You need to know that there is something in that phone that has to be checked.
Or late nights, too.
Or late nights, too, you know. So,
what about children who have their own rooms? You know, because when you go into your room, your child goes into his or her room, you don't know what goes on there. What should parents do?
Well, for children who have the privacy of their own rooms.
Mm.
Like my house, there is no lock on any door. If it is your room, your child, I have to be able to come into your room anytime in the night. You just may be running a fever and nobody would know, so I need to assess your room.
What about the teenage ones?
Oh no, the teenage ones need to know as much as you will respect the privacy of that teenage child, you know, but there are rules also. No taking of gadgets into the room past this time. Everybody has to submit your tablet, submit your laptop, submit your... Do you understand? Submit them. They need to know that they are accountable. You just take them by surprise and just collect their phone and say, well, put the password. Open. Oh, yeah? Go to these sites. You navigate your child's phone and find out what is going on. You don't give notice when you want to do that. You just take the child by surprise. You know, can I have your phone? Can you unlock it? And then you go through.
Wow.
So when a child knows that my mother or my father can just demand for my phone anytime, the child, first of all, becomes careful. Of course, we know children can be very smart too, you know, but it makes them know that they are accountable for you. And when you say something that the child should not be looking at, you seize the phone. There must be consequences to those actions, you know, and you make the child understand why such a site is not good for the child. The child has to understand why that consequence, why you set that consequence to that action of assessing any site that is wrong.
All right, quickly, let's talk about men and females who are suffering one domestic violence or the other. Because some people are just suffering in silence, not knowing who to talk to. What should they do?
Speak out.
Speak out to who? How?
First of
all, a number they can call?
Yes, first of all, they need to speak out. You know, people have confidence.
But they said that you shouldn't let your third party know about what is going on.
No, who said? Who said that you should not let a third party? No. At the point that there is violence in that marriage, whatever form it takes, okay, you need to get help. You need to get help. It's not every time that people are advised to divorce. Sometimes separation is key. You need to remove yourself, you know, from the vicinity of that violence.
The abusive
environment. So that you can think clearly, you know, and make the right decisions. So that there can be room for mediation, provided it is not physical abuse and your life, you know, it's not on the line.
Some people take that break and they don't get to come back anymore.
Yes, they don't get to come back.
Because before, as a lady, if you take a break, before you come back, another woman is already there.
Well, is the issue another woman taking over or you being alive? It depends on what your priority is. Your priority should be being alive. Mm. If you have children, I'm sure you would want to be alive to take care of your children. You would want to be alive for your children to know where to find you when they need you.
And your life shouldn't be cut short.
It shouldn't be cut short because you got married. For crying out loud, the person you got married to, you met barely how many years before? Do you understand? So giving up your life because you want to please the person, or you feel that, you know, you cannot do without the person, will just be sheer foolishness on the part of any woman. So we advise people, women and men, that, you know, are suffering domestic violence, we advise them to please seek help. Talk to somebody Talk to somebody that they are close to, because not everybody, you know, can go to the police. But there's somebody you can talk to that will help you make the necessary decisions and encourage you, you know, to get help.
Mm.
Okay?
Are there lines they can call? People who handle domestic issues?
Yes, there are lines that they can call. But oftentimes I tell people, you need to take the step to go.
So where do they go to?
There are many civil society organizations that work with people. Okay. We have our organization, which is African Women Lawyers Association. Okay. Our office is at the Nigerian Bar Association House, MBA House.
Where is
the
it?
The third floor, opposite Falga. The Port Harcourt City Local Government Council, popularly called Falga, you know, on Bank Road, just by the entrance to the State Secretariat. If you walk in there, go to the third floor, we have a staff there that will listen to you, take your complaint, you know, and transmit same to the members of the association. Somebody will be assigned to follow up on your matter, you know, and help you.
Okay, because of time, I think we'll have to go now.
Yes, so I'll just quickly give a toll-free line that we have.
Please do that.
We have a toll-free line, which is 0800 02 0800-0023-1111. I'll take it again. 0800-0023-1111. It's toll free, meaning you call and you're not charged for the call.
Time is passed. Thank you very much, Barrister Jemo, for coming. Thank you very much for coming.
Thank you.
And thanks to ONEP, West African Network for Peace Building, for giving us this platform to talk about violence against persons. Until we come your way again next week, Sunday, God willing. My name is Rachel Ona, signing off now, urging you to please stay on the Treasure 98.5 FM. Good afternoon.
Port Harcourt. This is Treasure FM News.
A very good afternoon and welcome to Newsbeat 3.